This is PHPBB Weekly, episode number 154, recorded live on Saturday, July 3rd, 2010. The standards gods must be crazy. Whatever. The 4th of July weekend stuff. Hello, welcome to PHPBB Weekly.
Happy 4th of July.
4th of July weekend, which only matters to those of us in the United States, kind of, somewhat. Yep. It's actually the 3rd of July, so happy 3rd of July, David.
Yes. Happy birthday the day before the birthday of the United States Day.
Yeah, which actually should be the 2nd of July, because it was the 2nd of July, which they thought was going to be, John Adams thought was going to be the big day, because that's, but it took them 2 days to get the thing signed, so... Whatever.
You know, one of the signers, main signers on the Declaration of Independence, his name is Francis Lewis.
Oh, really?
Yep. Famous.
So, the framers had their own handyman, didn't they?
Yeah. You know what's interesting about that is that Francis, F-R-A-N-C-I-S, is not a common name at all.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it F-R-A-N-C-E-S that's a common name?
Girl's name, yeah. Girl's name.
Yeah. Okay. Welcome to PHPBB Weekly, episode number 154 for Saturday, July 3rd. Oh my gosh, I can't talk fast. Saturday, July 3rd, 2010. I am your co-host, Douglas Bell from San Francisco, California.
California. Okay, yeah. And from some nice, cool weather up here in Washington State, I'm David Lewis.
Just do your public service announcement for visit Seattle, Spokane, Washington.
That's right, where the weather is always awesome.
Except when there's snow, more snow.
It's still awesome when there's snow on the ground.
I'll take your word for it. Yeah, so we have a big show today. We have a show that actually we have recycled way too much. We've been making plans for the show for this episode discussion of HTML5 for a month and a half now, and it never quite seemed to come to fruition. Looks like we're finally going to talk about it today, but we have a smaller chat room this week due to the 4th of July holiday, I presume, so we'll just have to deal with that. But we have a couple of other things we can talk about first. I guess on the show we talk about the PHPBB bulletin board stuff at phpbb.com. Let's talk a little bit about some upcoming events. Obviously, we have LibertyVasion only 7 weeks away. It's coming up very soon. And we just finished witnessing a rather quick t-shirt contest the team sponsored, and they announced the winner of the contest, and I just lost the tab. It was Christian 2.0's t-shirt with the globe and the little
people standing on the globe around
standing
in a circle.
On the globe. People standing on the globe, big giant standing on the globe. Presumably that's because that once the globe is covered entirely in oil, people can actually stand on it. We are totally... All right, this has not worked out. We are totally destroying this awesome t-shirt design. I was kind of expecting this. We did one to win. Yep. Actually, in our straw poll, this design got 78% of the vote. Mm-hmm. So, very clear that this is the one that people liked. However, I was a little surprised that the teams actually opted to go for the grayscale version rather than the colorful version, although maybe it's to save money on printing.
Yeah, that kind of is surprising. I mean, I really liked the colored version, but I mean, this is cool too. So
they're providing two colors, one which was part of the original shirt design, and one that is actually not. There's the grayscale on black, which was one of Christian 2.0's original proposals in the old topic, and then there's light grayscale on blue, which I had not seen before. But, not bad. I'd also be curious to know, because this is only the design for the front, and there were some people who had also designed the backside of the shirt. So since this is supposed to be a LibertyVasion t-shirt, I'd wonder if there's going to be something on the back, or if they're just making this as a general PHPBB t-shirt, because it said it's going to be later available in the PHPBB shop.
Yeah, I don't know. My sense would be that they're going to make it a general PHPBB t-shirt.
Can they put the multilingual creating communities on the back? Because that is cool. I want to have people stopping me at the airport.
Yeah, speaking of, last week, of course, the reason we missed the podcast was because Francis and I flew to Buffalo, New York, on extremely short notice.
Mm-hmm.
And
I have friends there and relatives. I like the friends better than the relatives that are over there.
So we wore our PHPBB t-shirts out there on the plane. And as predicted, every other person had to comment on it or ask us a question. It was so funny. We've worn, PHPBB t-shirts or cowboy hats. And cowboy hats intimidate people.
Yes.
Put people in awe. They're like, oh, real cowboys. It's kind of funny. Like, really? Have you never, ever seen real cowboys?
No, I have not. Until I saw you at that convention center, I'm like, who the heck are these? Oh, hi, David.
So you had that. And then the PHPBB t-shirts, everybody wants to talk to you. Mm-hmm. So it's really funny.
So they cancel each other out, essentially.
Yeah, no, I've never tried wearing both simultaneously, but
that would be
interesting. No, I haven't.
Yes, you have. Oh,
okay, yes, I guess.
Oscon, you wore both simultaneously. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. Well, in the airport, I haven't.
Oh. Why? Do you think the security will confiscate your cowboy hats?
No, I'm not concerned about that.
What are you hiding in them, David? You could hide an awful lot of weapons in a cowboy hat.
Next time I won't tell the TSA agent that.
nice to know. Actually, I keep having to remind me, but I Make Styles in the chat room is Christian 2.0 on the forums, and so he said he was contacted by David IQ Offboard for the blue revision, but, I mean, congrats on that. I guess if you make styles, you can also make t-shirts, so that works nicely. And according to the original post, in addition to a free version of his t-shirt, he's also going to be receiving the his very own birdie and the PHPBB team polo that gets random strangers to talk to you, I guess. I'm not sure whether to say congratulations or watch your back. Because everyone else will be watching your back, but David knows everything about that.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be interesting. Here's the thing I was a little surprised of, however, also. Maybe we should have more surprises on these announcements. That I thought that if this was going to be a Liberty Vasion t-shirt design, well, for one thing, doesn't seem to be just Liberty Vasion. I think it is more for general use. But then they're also saying that the shirts will be on sale at a discounted rate, which bums me out. I thought that these would be free to Liberty Vasion attendees, you know? Every single WordCamp I've gone to, it's given out free t-shirts for all the attendees. And they are not free for Liberty Vasion attendees, which are already paying a pretty good amount. So that was a little surprising to me, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. So. Did you hear that? Douglas is disappointed. He wanted a free t-shirt.
Well, I've got a lot of t-shirts anyway. I mean, I'm not so much disappointed for myself because I'm already getting a little bit of a student discount to help me for the Liberty Vasion costs. So it's not necessary for me, but I just think in kind of a general...
Mm-hmm. You know, for everybody there.
Most users are paying $20 to be there that day, and even $120 if they're coming the day before as well, and maybe even more than that if they want a birdie. I could see them putting a good price on the polo shirts, because those are in high demand, but I would think if more people saw them, but I don't know. It'd be nice.
I don't know. The t-shirts, yeah, that should be... How much would it be? I don't know.
I mean, t-shirts would normally be around $10, $15. It seems to be the going rate for t-shirts. That was about the price.
Oh, it should be a whole lot cheaper than that.
Well, that's just kind of in general. They said it'll be a discount during Liberty Vasion, so maybe even be cheaper than that. So it probably won't be a major amount, but I don't know. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure that there's issues. You know, the place is expensive. They're doing this at a hotel, for Pete's sake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most meetups I would go to would do it at a university campus or some general meetup place, and PHPBB seems to like the ritzy stuff, so... Which, again, I don't entirely know. If you remember their old logo, they should be meeting in little huts. It was like the old PHPBB... Little blue huts for these meetups, like the PHPBB2 logo was. You remember the PPV2 logo, David?
Yes, I do.
I loved that logo. I'm sorry, I still love that logo more than the current logo.
Well, it's more interesting than the current logo.
Yeah, it was a key. You know, ever since we changed our show's artwork, we replaced that hut with the little bod icon, which actually is nowhere else on phpbb.com. So I don't know where that comes from. So whatever.
Mm-hmm. I love browsing phpbb.com now, because any topic that you browse that a lot of team members have replied into, you see all these phpbb Liberty Vasion banners in their signatures. It's kind of cool.
I would add one to my signature, but I don't have room. They're making me put up a thing that says that I'm now Webmax 37 instead of Fountain of Apples. I also am trying to put a little link to this show and to OSCON Vasion, and by that point, I've exceeded the size for my signature to put a banner in, so I just have to put another line.
I think they make an exception, because, like, Steve Mari, for example, has the support request template generator, little tiny banner, the PHP Liberty Vasion banner, and three lines of text. Small blue, bold, and another line with link in it. So
you haven't read the rules. They make exceptions for team members.
I bet you they will make exceptions for Liberty Vasion. I mean, they're not going to make you take the Liberty Vasion thing out. That's advertising.
I guess. I'll see about it. at the moment I'd rather be advertising OSCONvasion more, because that OSCONvasion's only 3 weeks out now. Less than 3 weeks out. Thursday, July 22nd is the actual event, plus of course PHPPB is exhibiting there on Wednesday the 21st and Thursday the 22nd. And you weren't on the show last week, David, but I talked about that I actually got to meet a week ago Thursday with Colin Walsh, who is at the place where he's interning. He's actually interning at Facebook this summer.
Oh, and you didn't tell me that.
I talked about it last week. You weren't here. Yeah. The things you miss out on, David, when you miss the show.
I know.
I'm kind of guilty you at the moment. He arranged this literally the night before, but I went down to Facebook headquarters in Palo Alto, and he was there, and we got lunch on Facebook. Which is all right. They do apparently a different meet. They do a different, you know, internationality of meal that day, and that was that day was Columbia Day.
Columbia.
Yeah, well, not
like
the district.
Colombian food.
Yeah, I guess not the District of Columbia. You know, the actual Columbia. So, I wouldn't have minded if it was. I would have liked it a little better if it was District of Columbia food, but whatever.
Okay.
Yes. It was nice, but we had a little discussion about OSCONvasion. We are currently. I can't talk about anything else I saw at Facebook, because they made me sign a non-disclosure agreement.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, there's a couple of cool things. I didn't see very much. There's a couple of cool things that I would like to share, but I don't know if I'll get sued or not, and I'd rather not risk it. So
yeah,
there really don't. I didn't see any. I didn't see any new features at Facebook. Nor did I really care. I don't really care much about Facebook myself. But we talked a little bit about planning for OSCONvasion and trying to figure out how we're going to do stuff. The teams are kind of looking to figure out what we can stock in the booth. And this is more Colin's area, but we'd like to figure out if we can find a place for some poster. I would really like to see if there is a place that can make gummy birdies, like we had, like the teams had at Linux Tag back 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, there, I remember those.
Yeah,
big demand. Yeah,
yeah. That's. I really think that is what we need to have to really differentiate ourselves. I mean, who wants to get yet another pen just because it says PHPB on it? But if you give them if you give them gummy birdies, then like, well, okay, they'll remember this while they're eating them. They'll say, I need to check out PHPB. It works.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also gets them on Birdiezilla's hit list, but that's a different story. for cannibalism. Birdie cannibalism. Anyway, so I'd like to see if that's a way to do that. As for how we will probably be having people donate their laptops. I don't know if I can donate mine, because I'll probably be busy with PHPBB Weekly stuff, because I'm not there representing PHPBB. I'm there representing PHPBB Weekly. That's what I signed up for. But I would... I think what we're going to do, they're going to rotate people's laptops, and they will actually be trying to demonstrate PHPBB with a local host install. And the reason is, apparently, if you are an exhibitor, yes, the booths are free for, you know, nonprofits, but they're going to charge $100 if you want a dedicated internet connection.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is stupid. Which a day. Actually, well, a that's day. Not, $100 a day.
That's not really bad. I mean, that's I mean, they're there for free, for one thing. And then, you know, having the internet, okay, that's not bad.
My response would be, well, it's a tech conference. There's going to be Wi-Fi everywhere anyway, isn't there? So.
Yeah, that's true. But whether or not you had a dedicated line, you would still want to do a local host install.
How about 70-something bucks for a power source?
See, that's not unheard of for conferences, though.
But it's a little hard for, you know, this project, which for PHPB to, you know, I guess, swallow. I mean, I'm sure that the PHPB can cover some expenses, but at the same time, I'm sure they're also looking ahead towards Liberty Evasion, which will have a lot more expenses to think about, so it'll be interesting to see how that's going to work, but, yeah. Actually, and, you know, I think we talked about this briefly, but, you know, Colin did also tell me about, you know, he's still working hard to try to get PHPB to compile with hip-hop.
Okay, yeah. I didn't realize he was working on that, but
he's been, he said he's close. So there's a couple of things that just are not going to work right unless he, like, literally does some rewriting of some PHPB stuff. But
mm-hmm.
He said it's very close at the moment. So, yeah.
That's interesting.
So it'd be interesting to see if PHPB will go the way of the jumping bean, but I think it'd be interesting to kind of see how that works. But certainly speaking of OSCON, I mean, if you are not going yet, it's not too late to go. And, OSCON just posted this.
And the obligatory phone call. There it goes. People who know you're going to be on the call, you want.
I guess so. Every single week. Just wait till I go back to college. That'll be better. There's no one in here to unplug it this time either, so. All right, that's four. Moving on. They have a new What's Free at OSCON page, which they had last year. And there's actually a few more things this year. Of course, the Expo Hall, it has over 60 exhibitors. Check them all out. If you don't want to pay to go to some sessions, there's actually a track of sessions that are free. It's their products and services track, and I believe these run. These are pretty much sponsored by, you know, companies, so it's a little bit like free advertising for them, so to speak. But these take place on Wednesday and Thursday, and there's a long list of sessions you can actually go to here, including how to build a large distributed system to operate at scale, getting ready for the new MySQL, looking at MySQL 5.1. This is an interesting theme: Cloudy with a Chance of Revolution. Titled by Phil Robb of Hewlett-Packard.
Very clever.
Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah.
Those are both all Wednesday at 10:40. Introduction to developing MeeGo applications and taking advantage of the Intel Atom developer program and Intel's AppUp Center. I wonder who's sponsoring that.
Good question. Yeah, that's a real mystery.
Patents, probes, and strengths in Unity, protecting innovation through participation. I should maybe link this, since we're actually reading it to the chat room. Native and web app convergence. That's a very interesting one, looking at mobile native apps and web apps.
Mm-hmm.
Apple likes to believe that they support both, and then we'll see if they do. Business intelligence in the cloud. Co-app bringing open source package management to Windows. I wonder who's sponsoring that. Blazing queries using an open source columnar database for high performance analytics and reporting. How Linux containers fit your cloud. DB Relay, an introduction. Google open source office hours. Oh, look at that. That's actually the first thing here that I actually understand. Actually, they have Tim Bray and Chris DeBona of Google Inc. there. And it's more of a roundtable session. That's 2:30 on Wednesday. I think I might go to that. Sounds interesting to see what Google's doing. Membase.org, the simple, fast, elastic NoSQL database powering Farmville. Is now an open source project. Woohoo! Farmville has gone open source. How about that, David? The world will never be the same again. I thought it was bad enough when they went on the iPhone. Shall we take let's take 2 minutes to rant about Farmville and that's it.
Oh, I hate Farmville. I just have to say that.
It just sounds stupid.
Have you ever tried it?
No. I don't.
You haven't.
We've talked about it on my technology show. Actually, I think it was early April. We were talking about in Bulgaria that a lot of people in their government got fired because they were too busy playing Farmville. And I said, well, okay, they're just working on their agricultural policy.
That's
Bulgarian government.
Okay. Talking about, I mean, okay, it's. I still am baffled by the interest of it. I mean, it held my interest for maybe stopping by once a day for a couple of weeks, and then it was like, but okay, the only reason I'm doing this is because everybody else says, oh, it's cool, and, you know, I'm like, okay.
I haven't touched
it. I have now farmed my land and produced crops, which do...
You actually did this?
Yes, I tried it. For
really?
A couple of weeks, yes, I did. And it still mystifies me as to what continues to hold interest in people beyond a couple of weeks of play.
A couple of weeks is too much, in my opinion, but I know a lot of friends at my university it holds a lot of interest of. It's ridiculous, though.
Yeah, and the only thing I get out of people is like, oh, well, it's cute.
Well,
it's
cute.
See,
don't
it's
take
not
a garden yourself.
Cute.
I grew up and with deck gardens every spring. Of course, it's kind of stopped now.
And you can decorate with it. You can decorate your house with real
Thank
flowers.
You. Thank you. We have 15 seconds left. yeah, don't waste your time with Farmville. And now it's on the iPhones, and now people are never going to be productive ever again.
But you know, the thing is, they're laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
The makers.
Oh,
you know?
Well, time's up. Okay, moving on. That was our 2-minute rant on Farmville. Although, thank you for syntax error. We should again clarify, no sequel went open source, not Farmville. But no sequel is what powers it. Yes, so... no sequel.
I
mean, Farmville
I feel
will never
so much better.
Succeeded
yes, by else. He took the words right out of my mouth. It sounds like no sequel went open source, not Farmville, thank God.
Yes.
Yes. I feel so much better.
So now you can create your own... Blankville. Now, just go to that project session. Next up, we have a Let's Build a Ruby Application Server. You know,
mm-hmm.
Rubies are a geek's best friend. then on Thursday, this should be an interesting one, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, Understanding API Activity, from guy from Mashery, Intel R, Xeon R, Processor RAS, I think those R's are supposed to be for registered trademark, which is an RAS is reliability, availability, and serviceability features. Okay. Open source powered websites. Protect your enterprise and yourself. Sounds like a very interesting session. Migo technical overview. The next step in DVCS, that's Distributed Version Control System. MySQL bottleneck hunters, how Schooner increased MySQL performance by 8 times. Build missions. Oh.
That's interesting.
That'd be interesting to see if you manage your own server, using optimizing MySQL Enterprise and NODB with flash memory, multi-core processors, and DRAM to achieve an 8 times improvement in performance relative to existing systems. Great if you have really bulky websites. Build mission-critical cloud applications on Windows Azure platform using open-source technologies. Again, it's a Microsoft thing. I've never heard of Windows Azure. Or Azure.
What? Azure? Azure?
I guess. Azure.
Azure.
Say it like that and it sounds like a sewer.
yeah, it's Azure.
Flush
you have
that
to
down
be French
toilet.
To say it like that. It's Azure.
We got two guys from Facebook talking about Flash Cache. Enables the use of a flash device to cache disk data and accelerate IO-bound applications. It was implemented and shared by Facebook.
A flash
device?
Flash
Cache. Yeah. To cache disk data. I think that they really like it. Pun intended. All right. Python and finance. U.S. government mandates financial modeling and other snakes in the grass.
What?
Well,
I get it. All right. U.S. government mandates financial modeling and other snakes. What in the world? What is that?
I don't know.
Proposal addressing the lack of transparency of asset-backed security by adding disclosure requirements to include Python financial models reflects a need for open tools to work with open data to ensure transparency in government. This set transparency in government is an oxymoron, moron, by the way. This session discusses why Python is a good fit for the SEC's proposal and the open source challenges ahead for the financial ecosystem.
Well, it's not an entire...
That sounds like...
It's not an entire oxymoron, David. There's such a thing as translucency in government. The problem is
I might laugh.
For a lot of people in government, it's the wrong part is translucent. yeah.
Yes, indeed. You might like that session, though.
Me?
Yeah, because you're going, you know, you're majoring in government.
No, I'm not. I'm majoring in public communications. The only thing I know about government is in Washington, D.C., there is lots of grass where snakes could be roaming, for all I know. So anyway, and finally, private cloud deployment with Microsoft and Novell driving transformational architecture in the enterprise.
Novell. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
This would be a very novel Novell session.
The evolution of cloud computing. Yeah.
All those sessions on Monday, on Wednesday, and Thursday are completely free. There's even more than that that's free. There's also an open source mobile platform and app development workshop. This is a sponsored tutorial, 1:30 p.m. on Tuesday, this is presented by Lars Kurth of Symbian and Paul Bousterien. Of the Symbian Foundation. And again, looking more at the mobile industry, pretty good, interesting here. Session. There's all the Birds of a Feather sessions, and of course you should come to our Birdies of a Feather session, which is going to be Thursday, July 22nd at 7 o'clock p.m. But on Monday and Wednesday evenings, there's also a number of them. There are a lot of interesting things to go to. I'm probably on Wednesday going to go to the Managing Open Source Projects BOF session, which sounds like an interesting one. Or maybe some of the other ones as well. But there's a lot of BOF sessions coming there. So you should probably check those out, because they're all free. You can even create your own if you want. They also have a thing called Ignite OSCON. This is at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. This is very interesting.
And you have to bring your lighters. Lighters are required.
Yeah, okay. But this is very interesting. This is an interesting idea. Essentially, for people who are presenting, and it's too late to sign up for this, but each presenter has 5 minutes on stage. They get 20 slides, and the slides rotate automatically after 15 seconds. And so they have 5 minutes to pitch a project, launch a website, teach a hack, just present anything they want, and their slides will rotate every 15 seconds without their able controlling it. And that's an interesting idea, and that's going to be Tuesday at 7 p.m. in the Portland Ballroom. I'd check that out. They also actually said, if you haven't seen the Ignite Talk, you can watch some videos at their website is igniteshow.com.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently they do a lot of these little Ignite things at a whole bunch of different shows and stuff. There is also the O'Reilly Open Source Awards. Originally the O'Reilly Google Open Source Awards, now it's just the O'Reilly Open Source Awards, and that's going to be immediately after Ignite OSCON at 7:50 p.m. on Tuesday in the Portland Ballroom, and the honors are presented to individuals for dedication, innovation, leadership, and outstanding contribution to open source. It's way too late to nominate anybody, but I think it's probably cool to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
The Expo Hall reception is Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock p.m. It takes place in the Expo Hall, and of course the Expo Hall will also be open, but you can have if it's like last year, I believe they have a hosted bar area. You can get drinks if you want. I'm not going to, but they'll have some snacks around as well. Because, you know, OSCON, they feed us very well. You remember that from last year, David?
Yes. No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did.
Well, okay, so they fed us ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah, they feed you ice cream very well.
No, they had some cookies and fruits during the day.
Yeah, okay.
If you were in the area. So, but that's a great place to mingle, meet other people, see the latest products and projects and stuff.
I still don't know what our plans are going to be, because we've got this Buffalo company that we're waiting to hear from, and if they say, yeah, we want you guys, we will end up flying out to Buffalo for a couple of weeks, and I don't know if that will conflict with OSCON. I hope it doesn't, but...
I hope not, because I'm relying on you to bring some camera equipment, David.
But I just have to warn you, I still don't know what my plans are. My life is like a super limbo right now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
How long will you, till you find out? Because this is literally less than 3 weeks off.
I'm hoping on Tuesday I'll find out.
Okay. Weather stuff. It's a couple more free things. They're enticing you here. We're throwing you the package, and then eventually we'll talk about HTML5. There's the Theta.
Hey, you don't have to entice me anymore. Actually, those free sessions.
Everybody. The listeners, David, not you.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
I don't care about you. Yes, I do. There's the State of the Onion address, which is 6:15, right before our session. Larry
State
Wall.
Of, State of the Onion address.
State of the Onion address. Yeah. I would wonder at what point are they going to bring Shrek on the State of the Onion address. Ogres are like onions.
Mm-hmm.
That is my very bad Shrek impersonation. The OSCON API hour, which you will not go to because you're going to come to our thing because it's at the same time. And then a couple of other events as well, which are at the same time. So, but it's all those are for completely free Expo Hall pass. Which mm-hmm. free now, free even if you register on site. And of course, so is our session. So I hope if you are interested in coming that you will come. We do would like to know if there's anyone else that is planning to come, however. And that's because, and I know I had the link. Darn, I can't even find the link to our .com topic. It's in the Events and Meetings Forum, OSCONvasion. Because right now we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, only 7 people coming, which is less than last year. And that's assuming David and Francis can still come, so please sign up. It's fun. Oh, and Laurel will be there. Laurel's going to give a talk at our session.
Yeah, you keep saying that.
It'll be great. Mm-hmm. And if you can't come, we'll be broadcasting it live on PHB Weekly, assuming we can figure it out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Syntax Error in the chat said, they feed us well for us not paying a dime. So, consider that.
They have some pretty big corporate sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
That OSCON makes a lot of money, actually.
So, yeah, and of course...
If you start calculating everything that they mm-hmm. bring in and how much they charge... It'll blow your mind how much money that they make.
There you go. Well, because the sessions cost a lot. Yeah, and PHPB will be there, so it's a great kind of meetup place to have a booth and stuff. So
there will be a lot of PHPB team members there, right? There'll be more than 7. I'm pretty sure.
Will there? They haven't informed me.
They. Yeah. Okay. But
I'm gonna have to slap Colin. If you are a PHPBB team member and you are coming and you are not X-Reaction, Syntax Error 90, or Colin Walsh, then you have not told me on the topic that you are coming. Please reply to the topic so that we get some more, interest going. Thank you. Please. Thank you. And David, as soon as you know, we'll have to talk offline. Okay, we've spent too much time talking about upcoming events and stuff. So
we've just spent half the show doing that.
Half an hour.
You've now only allotted me less than 30 minutes to talk about our topic of the week.
Well, we can talk. We can make it 45. Does that sound good? We are all right. So the main topic for today, and I'm sorry that advertisement took so long. I was not intended, but I was surprised by how many free stuff there was. We have been hearing a lot of stuff over the past month or two about HTML5. As the Apple is proclaiming it as the next big thing that's going to kill Flash. And
yes.
Personally, I have had so many problems with Flash in the last couple of weeks, maybe because Steve Jobs has cursed it, that I wouldn't mind seeing a replacement to Flash. But really, HTML5 has been around for a good while. They first got started on the specification back in 2004. Mm-hmm. And it's been a working draft ever since then.
6 years.
Only now are we starting to see, a number of things be implemented in the working draft, even though, based on what I've been reading from, if you read the Wikipedia entry for HTML5, there are some that are saying it may take till 2022 until we actually see this become finalized, unless, of course, we see some...
Do you know why? Do you know what the problem is with it?
Yeah, committees don't work well, do they?
No. That's not the problem with it.
All right, speak.
The problem with HTML5 is the browsers.
Mm-hmm.
Until the browsers adequately support HTML5, and I mean all of them, they all have to do it. Because otherwise, as a developer, you want to use HTML5, you've got to go, okay, right now, say, two browsers support HTML5, and if I've got four main browsers, two of them support HTML5 and two don't, you always have to program for the least common denominator.
Which is why web developers hate Internet Explorer.
6. And 7 and 8.
Yes.
But in the order of hated most, 6. Hated second most, 7. Hated third most, 8.
Is 9 out yet?
9 is not out yet. No. And 9 is, you know, it's going to change a lot of things. But it's not going to support HTML5 as far as I know, which is going to be a huge problem. That means that HTML5 compatibility is going to be pushed even later. That means that really, if you want a site that everybody can use, you cannot just do HTML5. You basically have to do two different versions, mm-hmm. HTML5 and other HTML4 use HTML4.01 for everything else that doesn't support HTML5.
Now, when we're looking at web browsers, the primary web browsers that people think of are, at this point, obviously Internet Explorer, Firefox, Safari, and Chrome. And I know that, you know, Opera is out there, and there's other derivative browsers, but those are probably the big four, I think you'd agree. Safari and Chrome are based on WebKit, primarily an Apple thing, but Google's contributing a lot to it as well. Firefox is based on Gecko. And Internet Explorer is based on who knows what. Let's just put Internet Explorer. You know, it's in its own world. So we'll just focus on these two big things. Apple and Google are probably the ones that have been doing the most promotion of HTML5. Apple certainly recently has been doing it as their main defense to Flash not being supported, saying that HTML5 is supported, of course, for various uses. They published a gallery, HTML5 and web standards, and then Google followed about 2 weeks later or so with their own website called HTML5 Rocks,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, who knows why that's the name. And both of them trying to give out some different demonstrations of the different things you can do with HTML5. The problem is, I haven't heard as much of this on the HTML5 Rocks site. If you try to go to the Apple's HTML5 site, it will only let you view this stuff in Safari.
Only use it. You can only see it in Safari.
Unless you go to the developers section, where the very same demos are available to any other browser.
Yes, even though it works in Chrome.
Yeah.
And Firefox, they still don't let you use it unless you're using Safari. Now, how and their big thing is open standards, yada yada. Now, how open is that?
That's talk about big fat things. And then, of course, there are a lot of people who are saying that there are actually a lot of these features here that use some very Safari / WebKit specific stuff that is not part of the HTML5 standard whatsoever.
Which is the WebKit, or I'm sorry, the QuickTime.
Kind of.
You're talking about the QuickTime plugins.
And I guess that's probably one of the big issues, because the most popular thing people are thinking with HTML5 right now is HTML5 video. It's supposed to be the big fat replacement for Flash as the video medium.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that has come up there, and actually this was just literally this past week, YouTube posted on their blog an article with their thoughts on HTML5, and they're complaining that, you know, the web browsers have not been able to settle on a standard for what codec to use for HTML5. Apple is pushing H.264.
Apple and Microsoft. Apple and Microsoft against each other, actually.
Kind of.
Apple's trying to use H.264.
It's been pioneering in its QuickTime for years. It's the standard codec used on Blu-ray players, and even, you know, YouTube has been using H.264 since 2007 for its mobile devices, especially. But then, if you go to the Mozilla area with Firefox, they're really pushing more of the AUG Theria format. I don't know if I said that right.
The VP8.
I think I think so. It's Aug.
Okay, no, wait. Okay, so it's Apple and Microsoft that are supporting H.264.
That's it, yeah.
Against Adobe, Google, Mozilla, and Opera, which have all pledged support for the VP8 video encoding specification.
Yes.
In Google's open source WebM format. HTML5 doesn't yet support industrial strength video streaming capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Which Flash does, which is why HTML5 at this point cannot overtake Flash until it does that.
Mm-hmm.
And other things. But the browsers have to support it. And here's the thing that kind of gets me. Why wouldn't the video format support both encoding formats? Why one? Why H.264 or VP8?
Exactly. You know, the very popular JW player, which is a very popular Flash video player, they about 2 months ago released a beta version of an HTML5 player, and they actually have some examples of using it as a MPEG-4 or the WebM format, or you can even be able to show what it has both formats built in. And then if it can't support, if you use a web browser that cannot support HTML5, it will then fall back to the Flash version.
Mm-hmm.
Now, personally, I wouldn't mind seeing a Flash version that will fall back to HTML5, the reason being that their HTML5 version of their player does not support full screen video, which seems to be kind of the big, you know, desired feature. Whereas if you're using Flash, it does support HTML5 video. Now, if you're using an HTML5 player in like an iPad, iPhone, something like that, which does not support Flash, those apps will actually allow you to make the HTML5 video go full screen on their own. If you're trying to view that player, however, in your computer, that does not have that kind of support built in. From what I can see. And so, from a user's point of view, who just literally don't really care if you're using Flash or HTML5, they probably would like to see full-screen video, because, you know, we're in the HD area, and if you want HD video, you have to have full-screen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that's a big limitation of HTML5, and that's what YouTube has pointed out, that HTML5 does not support full-screen video, whereas mm-hmm. Flash Player has secure controls for enabling hardware-accelerated full-screen displays.
Right.
And that is very critical, I think, for video to be able to take off. And that's a big letdown right now in terms of what's available for through HTML5. Really, I mean, what we Flash really kind of saved video on the internet. YouTube was pretty much, I think, the first time I really saw an instance of using Flash to play videos back. Whereas before, there was just an alphabet soup of acronyms. If you had audio, pretty much anything could play audio, unless they stuck you with a stinking real audio streamer. But pretty much everything else, you know, it was fairly standard, MP3s and stuff like that. But for video, they either gave you a QuickTime or a Windows Media or a real video. And you pretty much had to have all three of those if you could. And then when Microsoft stopped supporting Windows Media for Mac, they would then you didn't had to download the WM components thing for QuickTime. But really, the only time I really had any success with video was if it was a QuickTime stream, which kind of was the most popular. But there were a number of sites that, you know, annoying sites that would show stuff in Windows Media or Real Player, and then bleh, and it was really a pain in the neck. So finally, we get YouTube, and then a number of other sites that do a Flash video player, and all of a sudden, because, you know, Flash runs on all of the platforms, so we finally had a unified interface for being able to run and play videos on the internet, and that's what nearly helped, you know, made video explode on the internet. And then really the point when this became a big fight was when Apple announced its iPad, which did not support Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And then Adobe started getting all mad at Apple for it, and really kind of embarrassing themselves in the really stupid campaign.
What it really comes down to, it's kind of interesting because, you know, Apple, or more particularly Steve Jobs, he was sort of the one that, you know, he posted his company basic rejection of Adobe's Flash technology. But the thing is, HTML5, and we've gone through this of what YouTube has said about HTML5 not being able to replace Flash. Why does it have to replace Flash? Why can't it work with Flash? The thing is, not all sites are going to need to stream video that way. There's a lot of other stuff that people use with Flash that they should use with HTML5. But sites like YouTube, which use their Flash player, Flash video player, and there's lots of other Flash video players that are required to properly display videos. HTML5 doesn't have to wait until it can do many of these things, full screen video and things like that, to become a popular option for people to use. HTML5 just needs the browsers to be able to support it adequately, because not everybody's, you know, again, what you're putting on your site, and you can see this in the demos, on the Google Chrome demos, the Safari demos, or Safari developer demos, actually, so that you can see it in any browser. But there's lots of really cool stuff you can do with HTML5. And that's what people need to be looking at doing, but it's not viable yet right now, aside from Flash. But let's set aside the Flash versus HTML5 because I think that those two should work together.
I think there is a very good article that popped up on Macworld that was reprinted from InfoWorld about a week or two ago, and it is by Peter Wehner, who is a columnist for InfoWorld, said how HTML5 will change the web, and kind of pointing out a lot of the good things, but also some of the not as good things to consider about the future that HTML5 provides. One of the good things, of course, it will reduce the importance of plugins. If we get to the point where there will be a single standard format that HTML5 supports, then you don't need to have a Real Player plugin, a Windows Media plugin, a QuickTime plugin to be able to play back a video format on the web. It will be all right there. And a lot of other plugins that can also, disappear. Because there have been some that have come and gone in the past, and Apple's betting that Flash is one of them, though a lot of people kind of think it's a little premature for that. There's the example of more interactive graphics using the Canvas object, which Apple has done a pretty nice job of demonstrating on its HTML5 gallery, being able to really live manipulate typography and different canvases and images and things like that, and being able to manage that, local file storage, being able to have offline application cache. Google has been saying that, however, while Google's trying to do a lot of HTML5 implementation with like Gmail and stuff, there are some limits to HTML5's offline storage that don't quite fit with everything Google wants to do. But it's something for being able to really make web applications a little more of the future. And of course, Google's betting right now that web applications are the future. How we're going to do computing, other things like being able to manage locations and micro formats, web video, of course, widgets that can interact with each other. There's even some questions about things improve security. There are also some worth noting that a lot of things that Flash is used for is advertisements, for example, and you can turn Flash off. There are Flash blockers that can block advertisements. What if we get to the point when HTML5 becomes so powerful that you can have those annoying advertisements that people cannot simply ignore because it's now part of the main core web page? So,
oh wow, I have to go back on something I said a little bit earlier about IE9 not supporting HTML5.
Mm-hmm.
Just last week, actually. Let's see, June 23rd. Yeah, that would have been last week. IE9 added key HTML5 features in the new preview release of IE9.
Mm-hmm.
So it can now play Flash video, which is good. That's a really good sign, because as long as IE can do that, but the problem that we still have is legacy browsers.
Yeah.
Firefox won't be an issue. Safari won't be an issue, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
Google Chrome obviously won't be an issue. IE9 will be fine, obviously, but you'll have legacy browsers of Safari and Internet Explorer.
Yeah.
That you'll have to support. And, for example, the company that I worked with most of last year, we created a organizational chart dynamically updating and loading and all kinds of stuff through the Canvas.
Yeah.
It was really cool the way it worked.
Mm-hmm.
But it only worked in two browsers. It only worked in Firefox and Safari, and that was it. And then We had to spend time creating a new another jQuery one for the other browsers, and it's things like that. You know, your company is, when you're doing development, you don't have either the funds or the time to spend developing twice for everything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Just to achieve something that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or basically does the same thing. So, you know, that's the main hurdle, and that's why I agree. I think it will be closer to, I don't know, I'm hoping 2015. Maybe that's optimistic, but maybe by 2015, we'll
still 5 years down the road.
It is 5 years down the road, but by that time, the browsers will be a lot more mature. I think people will finally get off of IE6, IE7. I think those who are on IE7 are probably have updated to IE8 by now. That appears to be the case. We still have the IE6 problem, but that's going to be EOL'd next year or later this year.
No, a few weeks from now.
Yes. Okay.
Less than 2 weeks from now, you're delivering the eulogy for it in 2 weeks.
Yep, that's right.
I'm making you do that. It's going to be corny. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, well, you know,
I'm having my wisdom teeth removed 2 days before that, so you're doing the most of the talking, David.
Jeff says, you know, it has always been that way supporting multiple browsers. Yes, it has. Here's the problem. Mm-hmm. You're not just, okay, like right now, when I developed for, we've dropped support for IE6 in all our development, but we're supporting IE7 and IE8, and sure, you know, there's a lot of time taken to try and go through and make things work in IE7 and IE8, and mm-hmm. you're doing all that extra development, but it's not the same. You're still just making tweaks specific for that browser. I'm not doing all new development for those browsers.
Yes.
And that's what HTML5, if you did HTML5, you would have to do all new development. You would double your development time completely.
I think the problem is, and I think a lot of people kind of, and this is very ironic, because the original purpose for HTML5 was to really be able to get to a point where we can have one web. In the 90s, when we had Internet Explorer versus Netscape, HTML was developed very rapidly, as was JavaScript, but really depending on what the individual web browser makers put into the web browser. And that's how we got all this crazy stuff, like the font tags and the color and stuff like different tags that have now been replaced by CSS out of a desire mm-hmm. to, you know, try to, you know, do some separation of content from style and be able to seek for some. So if you are browsing a website in Safari or in Internet Explorer, you will hopefully be able to see the same website, which doesn't happen a lot of times. And that's the boon for web developers. The problem, and that's why HTML5 is trying to introduce canvas tags, video tags, all these various, you know, extra features so that you don't have to say that for a website to look the way it's supposed to look, you have to use a certain web browser or install a certain plugin or add-on or some kind of crazy thing. It's so that everything will be out of the box. You'll have the entire web, whatever web browser you're using. And we are seeing the exact opposite happening now. And this is just more clear than ever with Apple's and Google's own examples of HTML5 features that really still are using a lot of their own custom code.
Mm-hmm.
That will not work in other browsers, and that's the exact opposite of what HTML5 is supposed to look like.
That's even a problem with CSS3, because you have WebKit and Firefox both support CSS3, but it's their own implementations of it. It's using browser-specific markup.
Mm-hmm.
For CSS3, that means that you have to duplicate your markup, and actually Opera has a third, or KHTML. So you're actually to achieve something in CSS3, you're creating four attributes for each thing you're trying to achieve, because it has to work in the four different kinds of browsers.
Mm-hmm.
They have to adopt a standard that everyone uses. That's the only way it's going to be successful, and they have to stop being greedy or who knows, you know, what else? It's the standard that they all have to adopt. And we can't, as developers, move on until that happens.
Mm-hmm. Web browsers, it's a hard thing because, on the one hand, you know, competition is good. If we did not have competition, we would just still all be on Internet Explorer 6.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yuck, yuck, yuck. And, you know, there was a point when pretty much, you know, if you were a Mac user, you had Internet Explorer, which was
5.
5, which is bleh, or Netscape Navigator, which was even more bleh. And then Apple came out with Safari, really kind of the first alternative web browser, and then we had Firefox, and now we have a whole wealth of web browsers that are now pretty much compatible on every platform. Pretty much every web browser works on both Mac and Windows, except for, ironically, Internet Explorer, which is only Windows. And that's probably maybe the other annoying thing. You know, for us Mac users, we can't test it on this crappy browser we have to make it work for.
Well, because fortunately we Mac users can run Windows and Mac on the same.
Well, if we pay for it, I don't have that kind of money, thank you very much. But let me get back to what I'm aiming for. The problem is, with web browser competition, in terms of the things that should be different from web browsers, is really kind of, you know, held down to that top 15% of the screen. That's where, you know, competition should take place, but the people want to see the actual web, and when we are seeing competition in terms of how it's going to display stuff, that is not, we need to have that be standard. The Safari can have competition through its, like, reader feature and how it handles RSS feeds, and, you know, every browser can have a different way of doing that, and, you know, Google has its own built-in, has its search engine built into the address bar, and Safari has a separate one, and all these different, you know, features and different ways of doing web developer stuff. That's fine and good. You can have competition there, but I mean, it's really kind of interesting, because at some point, I'd almost wonder if it's going to come to the point where, you know, we are running out of ways to innovate with web browsers itself, you know, and ways to compete with each other, because ultimately all the web browsers eventually start to copy each other's features in a certain way.
Yeah, and, well, they have to survive, that they have to.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Internet Explorer is a good example of one that's really tried to push their own features, as well as Opera. Opera's done that too, but it's useless for most web developers, and they have to make it useful.
Mm-hmm. The only problem part is when we were looking at, you know, getting, we're trying to, and we have all these tests, and I mean, I don't even think the other, how many browsers have passed the ACID 3 test yet? Other than, I mean, we know Safari has.
Well, yeah, Safari has.
Which probably
Google
means
Chrome
has too, because it's on the same platform.
Chrome and Safari both passed it. Firefox
is close, I think.
Is very close, yeah. And of course, they're coming out with the new Firefox 4. And I don't know what the status is on that, but let's see. IE is way behind.
Is that like 20%, I think?
Yeah, IE8 is okay. Let's take a look. ACID 3 test. Let's see who's passed it so far. Okay, Firefox 3.6 got 94 out of 100.
Mm-hmm.
Internet Explorer 8 got 20 out of 100.
Yep.
Internet Explorer 9 got 83 out of 100. That means that Internet Explorer's preview release, it's still in development, and it still doesn't even get up to 90. It's 83 of 100. Let's see. I don't even know what browser that is. Safari 4.
Mm-hmm.
So but that was the previous version, and of course the Chrome browsers all get 100. So yeah, and KHTML or Conker gets 89 of 100. Who uses Conker anyway?
Never heard of it.
KHTML, yeah, it's the other browser layout engine, other than Trident, Gecko, and WebKit.
Yeah. Trident is for...
The Android browser gets 93 of 100.
Okay.
Mobile Safari, of course, gets 100 of 100.
Well, Mobile Safari is built off of the same as Safari, so...
But it has slightly incorrect rendering on Mobile Safari 4, even though it does get 100. WebOS browser, 92 of 100. Opera Mini 5, it says it's 98 of 100, but it looks horrid.
Mm-hmm.
Firefox from mobile, 94 of 100, and looks good. Skyfire, whew, don't get that one. 52 of 100.
Never heard of it.
It's a mobile platform. And Internet Explorer Mobile basically just pukes completely. 5 of 100.
Not even close. Lovely. So I guess We have to. I mean, looking forward for HTML5, it's going to continue going. It seems to me as we're getting to a point, we're going to hear more hype about it. And I don't know about you. I'm kind of worried to see if all this hype is going to take it in the wrong direction. And we're not all kind of at a point where it's still a draft specification. It's been there for a while. The Ian Hickson, who's of Google, formerly of Apple, now of Google, he's the editor of the HTML5 specification. It expects it to reach the candidate recommendation stage during 2012, become a full World Wide Web Consortium recommendation in the year 2022 or later. A lot of parts of the specification, however, are stable. They can be implemented in products, and they have been. At what point are we going? What really can web developers do with it? And I guess it'll also be, since we aren't supposed to talk about PHP4B, does any of this really affect PHP4B in the long term future?
Rhea. I would hope so, but it is a good point because PHP, it would obviously be for PHP 4.
Yeah.
Once IE9 comes out and it supports enough of the HTML5 standard, that's out there, the draft, I should say.
Yeah.
Then you have Safari, Firefox, Chrome, and Internet Explorer 9 latest, all supporting these features. You can start developing for that. Until that happens, we're pretty much hand-tied. But I think we can. I would like to see it as a very real possibility in PHP 4, especially since PHP 4 can't even start development really until Symfony 2 or Symfony Reloaded becomes stable.
Yeah.
Which is still, we're still a good 5 months away from that, possibly. Hopefully not that long, but. Let's say 4 or 5 months, maybe up to 6, before Symfony 2 becomes stable. Then you can begin development of PHP 4 after that. Then, of course, you've got to look to the future. Start using future technologies, not like they did back in the day when they were developing a PHP 2.2 or a 3.0. They cannot talk about supporting anything legacy because by the time it's released, legacy will be EOL.
And now it will be legacy.
Yeah. They're already thinking that way because it's going to be using PHP 5.3.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're doing that, you might as well start looking to the future. And if HTML5 at that point... is there some viable features in it that PHP could use? Absolutely. I think we'll see it.
Mm-hmm.
jQuery has HTML5 tag support built in, among other features, says Jeff.
As long as
you leave Shiv in it. I'm not familiar with that.
Interesting. For a second, I thought you had to leave something there. What would we say for... a developer, however, now is HTML5 at the moment really worth considering now at the current time?
That's an interesting question because if people do not consider it, it's not going to be pushed through.
Mm-hmm.
It's the hype and people who are going to start developing for that is going to push the standard through faster. It is going to get it adopted by the browsers faster because it's going to increase the demand for it. Mm-hmm. Once you increase the demand for it, then the browsers are going to want to support it. So it's kind of this – it's kind of a circular thing, There's got to be a demand for it. The browsers have to support it, and then we can use it. So, we've got to – the hype is good. But they're the standards – who's in charge of the web consortium? They cannot think 2012. They've got to be thinking – oh, wait, 2012. No, that's only 2 years away. No, that's fine. Yeah.
Your point is they have to think, decades in the future.
Right. No, if they can think two years into the future, if they can have it a standard in 2 years, we'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see it sooner, but, if they can have it by 2011, that would be even better. But 2012, that's okay.
It's really kind of a hard I think it might be it's hard of a hard jump because we really this is really the first time in a while that we've really been trying to push forward a new version of, you know, HTML, which is the core of what the web is based on. And the internet is not that old of a thing. We've had it in terms of for like 20 years or so.
Yeah.
Would that be right? And in terms of, you know, for example, XHTML. Let's not even talk about HTML. Let's talk about XHTML. 1.0 became a recommendation on January 26, 2000.
XHTML, 10 years ago.
Over 10 years ago. XHTML 1.1 became recommendation on May 31, 2001. And that, in HTML4 would be even before that, because XHTML is based on HTML4. So, and how much of the internet exploded since then? The internet is huge compared to then. Google would have been like 2 or 3 years old at the time of this. Mm-hmm. So, we really are seeing the very first time since the internet really exploded of really now trying to redefine the core language of what is our internet. Web 2.0, all the things we are using now actually literally predated Web 2.0, literally have been around for half of the internet, and it's now going to be a lot harder, I think, to get these things to bump up to the next, you know, version, and we're going to have compatibility problems. It's going to be a bit of a nightmare for a good while. What really is going to need to happen, and of course, maybe this is a fortunate thing that's happening now. It's kind of a double-edged sword, because web browsers are going to have to support this first. Before web developers can realistically support this, they have to have assurances that that whatever they do will be viewable by users on their web browsers. And IE9 is probably, as you keep mentioning, the last, you know, big step to happen there, because Safari and Chrome are probably leading the way, with Firefox closely behind. One more release and we'll probably be pretty darn close. Safari 5 and the latest version of Google Chrome have really kind of, you know, taken the latest big step. Then we're going to have to see, you know, web developers really kind of pick up this torch. So in terms of this, you know, goal of really having one internet for all browsers, it probably is really going to, even though it seems ridiculous to say, you know, 2022 for a final recommendation of HTML5, more than 20 years after the original one. Well, yeah, because it's going to take that long for, you know, the internet to really move ahead to that point. So, if those, and even then, you know, we're still going to have a lot. Legacy is just that; it doesn't go away very darn quickly unless there's a very good reason to. So, and who knows? Maybe our whole world will be covered in oil by then. But I think it's a good way to take a look at HTML5, but it's not. I don't think it's what Apple says it is. Sure, Flash is a proprietary platform, but it's not. I don't think it can agree with Steve Jobs when he says that it's actually a closed platform, because it's fairly well supported on pretty much everything except for mobile devices, and even that's starting to come up soon. And maybe, I don't know, do you think Apple's hurting itself by being so stubborn about Flash, or?
Unfortunately not.
How many iPhones 4s have they sold so far? 2 million?
A couple of million. And, of course, you've got the iPad without Flash selling over 3 million units in 82 days.
Ridiculous.
Just, I mean, you talk about all the haters. Who talked about the iPad and how useless it was and it was going to flop and all this and that. You know, a lot of Apple haters. And Apple's laughing all the way to the bank.
Of course. You gotten to use that expression twice on this show. Congratulations, David.
Oh, thank you.
Just compared Apple to the makers of Farmville. Well, and I think it goes to show that we, those of us who actually care about these formats, are in the minority. You know, you ask the average iPad buyer if they care that Apple's supporting HTML5 over Flash, and they'll say, what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just want the internet to work. It's all they really care about for them. So there you go. You know, it's being a web developer is a very thankless job. So oh well. So I guess we'll just have to see what happens. But of course, we'll continue keeping an eye on it, and there'll be lots of hype, and we'll have to see where that goes. But you know, we'll make a note of that. So. We'll have to start wrapping up the show now, unless there's any last final thoughts on HTML5 from you, David. Okay, maybe let's just say one last thing. Make a prediction. Which video tag format do you think is going to win?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I think H.264 will. I don't want to see either one win, though. I want to see both of them supported, personally. But my prediction would be H.264 if they were to choose one.
I think so too, because it's had much better adoption. I think the main thing holding H.264 back, pretty much the only thing that's holding H.264 back, is that it's patented. Mm-hmm. Which again underscores the importance of why we are big believers in open source software. Why PHPB is open source, free as in speech, not as in beer. And software patents are evil, and it really is. It did when GIF format was stifled until that patent expired, and H.264, we're going to have to figure out how that's going to go. I think that's really what is, that really seems to be the main thing that's holding these other people back. So we'll have to see exactly what happens with it, even though it has not been as rigorously enforced. There's still money involved, so we'll have to see what happens. But if that wasn't an issue, I would say H.264 definitely, because it seems to have been, I mean, heck, even Blu-ray is using it, so there you go. Let's move on to start closing out the show. our mod of the week and style of the week. And they're kind of related, so this is why I saved them from last week. Mod of the week is called Presentation/What is Page by Freaky Blue. This is an interesting type of add-on. It's not entirely forum related. Really more of a website type. It's a means of being able to kind of present your website. If you view the demo, David, you really have to view the demo to get the idea of this. So essentially what it does, I can't tell if this is probably Flash. Maybe it's HTML5 for all I know. But essentially it allows you to create kind of an interesting interactive slideshow type of thing to sort of demonstrate your website to people. And I guess it has a mod because it integrates with PHPB in some way. But you can take a look at it, and it kind of has little sliders that go back and forth in terms of kind of showing what this particular website is offering. This website is ID Launch. It's a PHPB supporting and features website with a number of products. And so you can kind of get the idea of this. I really would love to get a chance to try take a look at this and kind of. Oh, I see. It uses jQuery. That's exactly what it is. It's jQuery, David's favorite. We still need to get that guy on here, David. I'm going to keep poking you.
Mm-hmm.
Someone was trying to get me to use jQuery last night, and I could not figure it out to save my life.
You couldn't? Oh, my goodness. Okay.
I'm good with PHP. Actually, this past week, I had to rewrite
you cannot.
Scripts.
You can. You have to. If you are dabbling in front-end design at all,
mm-hmm.
You have got to use jQuery.
I'll take your word for it. I'm better with the PHP stuff. I mean, this past week I actually wrote a complete WordPress plugin. Took a script I'd written for one of my sites and rewrote it in OOP. Very good OOP, if I do say so myself. It's actually I think it's much better code than a lot of WordPress stuff. But it's a very full featured WordPress plugin that's going to work on a number of my sites now. I'm even thinking about releasing it. So I'm okay with the PHP stuff, but the JavaScript stuff, I even tried some JavaScript this week, not even jQuery related, and I could not figure it out at all. I am hopelessly lost when it comes to JavaScript, which is surprising because, it's very similar syntax, but you have to help me out someday.
it's just JavaScript, essentially, but you are... It kind of is a new language, but it's so worth it because if you are trying to create your front end design and you've got to use any JavaScript at all,
mm-hmm.
You will probably.
I was looking at jQuery and I saw a lot of symbols and stuff, and it reminded me of regular expressions, and I was freaking out.
Well, okay, so if you are developing in JavaScript and you want to use jQuery, it's going to take you 10% of the time to develop using jQuery that it would have spent you using JavaScript.
I'll take your word for it. Point is, presentation / what is page? It's an interesting way of promoting your website. So, I mean, give it a try. I might be taking a look at it. So, check it out. That's the mod of the week by Freaky Blue. The style of the week, okay, why not? He won the t-shirt design contest. He's in the chat room, and he even PM'd me with a link to the style, and it's really cool. So let's go ahead and talk about it. Whoops. There we go. It is called Supernova, and it is by Christian 2.0. It is a super style. Check out the demo. A little more jQuery goodness here, I believe.
Yay.
Hover over where it says guest, please log in or register, and boom, there is a pop-up username and password link with login info right there. Beautiful.
That's very Twitter-esque.
Very Twitter, kind of, except that in Twitter you have to click on it. Here you can just hover over it.
Yeah.
Twitter, are you listening? You can instantly change the colors to three different types of colors. Very, nice use of gradients, kind of almost lickable. I always like saying, describing colors as lickable.
I really like this. This is...
It's a very nice... Oh, draggable form categories. You can drag and drop and reorder the form categories any way you like.
Okay, I have one complaint, though.
Yes?
Since he's in the chat room.
Okay.
Okay, that footer bar, the board index, team, delete all board cookies, all teams are... Okay, that is blatantly from Pro Silver. Change that, man.
It's okay, dude.
Oh, okay, it's okay. But, I mean, he's done so well with the rest of the style.
A lot
right?
of it.
It looks so cool. And then you get down to the bottom, you're like, hey, wait a minute. What's this doing here? It just doesn't belong.
Well, David, it does belong. If you look at the view topic page, that is all Pro Silver, okay? But at least you can change. At least it responds.
Okay, he's not done yet.
Color.
Then he got lazy.
It's like a stroke, like a true developer. Thank you, Sam, in the chat room. But you know, David, yes, it looks like Pro Silver, but the background does respond to your change of color. So there's a little bit there.
Does it?
Ooh.
Yeah. Wait a minute. That was weird.
What was?
I was just changing the colors.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to do. And, of course, built-in RSS links for each forum. So the little icon is there. You don't have to hunt for your RSS feeds for particular forums. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like that style. That is a very, very cool style.
One of the coolest styles we've seen in a good while. In terms of being able to do some creativity to beyond the default. And I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing some styles based off of this. Now, if we have a few more color choices, but there you go. definitely check it out. I wouldn't be surprised if I start using this if I ever get a forum up for any reason.
You can drag. Wait a minute. You can drag the.
I said this. Yes, you can drag and drop the categories.
This is really cool. This is fun.
It even shows you a little thing that underneath it says "drop here" in case it was not obvious. And appropriately, it's linked to us from awesomestyles.com. So, yes. Supernova by Christian Bolock, Christian 2.0. I make styles in our chat room. It's supported by cookies, so it's delicious. Endorsed by Cookie Monster, it is the style of the week.
And I'm going to start a petition for Christian to get unlazy and finish it so that there's no more.
You know what? Strike that. Get Christian on the styles team. That's what we need.
Oh, wait, no, because then he won't make these styles anymore.
I guess we need more styles like this in the ecosystem. Okay.
Absolutely.
That's it for our show. We finally talked about HTML5 after 5 attempts to advertise it. We did it. Yay.
Woo. Fifth time was the charm.
There we go. Fifth time for HTML5. Now if only it will get specified soon. Okay. Check out our website, www.phpbbweekly.net. That's our site. Find the show notes, links to everything we talked about on this show, and all of our past episodes as well. Our forum is at StarTrekGuide.com. Hopefully we'll get some more stuff going in there soon. We are on Twitter, PHPBBWeekly on Twitter. We can keep ourselves up to date. Our next live episode will be next Saturday, July 10th, episode number 155 at 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time or 1700 UTC time, we'll figure out what we're going to talk about, I guess. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we have some ideas.
I have company that's supposed to come in. Hey, my schedule's, just so you know, my schedule's a little bit up in the air, like I said, until I find out Tuesday what's going on.
Yeah, so.
Just so.
Maybe we'll sucker in some team member to come on and talk.
There you go.
David, yeah. I need your help. They don't respond to me they know if I come on at Skype right before the show is scheduled to start, then they just do not respond to me. They know that I'm going to ask them to come on the show.
And they run for the hills.
Then an hour after the show is over, they come back and say, "Oh, hi, do you want something?"
You're like,
"No, not anymore. Thank you very much."
Your chance to be a star. Okay, well.
Not so much of a star as a, I don't know, a brick wall. I just got a new chimney. Breaks in my dreams. We also, don't forget, OSCONvasion, less than 3 weeks off. So if you're going to come, we'd love to hear from you. Team members, I'm talking to you. And we sure to come plan to come on our live stream from the OSCONvasion Birdies of a Feather session. That will also be streamed on our same PHPB Weekly Ustream Thursday, July 22nd at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, or 2 a.m. UTC time. We may even have a video camera, maybe, hopefully. We need to figure some of the stuff out because we don't have much time left. So we'll try to work on that over the next couple of weeks. And so we got a lot of big stuff coming for the rest of the summer, so stick around on the show. That's it. Thanks for listening. I'm your co-host, Douglas Bell.
And the other one, David Lewis.
And have a great, if you're in the United States, have a great 4th of July weekend.
Yes, happy 4th of July.
Otherwise, keep watching the World Cup, because we don't care anymore. Ghana, you got us again. See you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Yes, we'll just keep it unique like that.
Really? I can't just say successful community begins with you, tag, you were it, except you just ran away, so I can't tag you anymore? Because I forgot?
There's debate about Apple going on.
Well, that's because the World Cup referee was here, and the World Cup referee decided that the tag did not happen. Those awful World Cup referees.